Of Psalms, let's go to Psalm 37 here. Psalm 37, and this is should be familiar to you, but there's some things that the Lord spoke to me about here, and we're just going to talk about it, okay? Psalm 37, verse 23, it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Now, I want to just talk to you and show you here that this is talking about the steps of a good man. The steps of a good man. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. So it's talking about people that love God, the people that serve God. But I want you to notice that right in the middle of it, talking about the steps of a good man, it says, though he fall. Though he fall. What's he saying there? He's saying you can be righteous, you can be a good person, and still mess up. You can mess up. Okay? But notice what it said, the Lord is right there. Let me give that to you, I think, in the Message Bibles where I have it. It says this, "If he stumbles, he's not down for long. God has a grip on his hand." And see, I want to encourage you today, sometimes the devil will beat us up because we made a mistake. Anybody ever been there? Come on now. You know, I mean, that's what he's the accuser of the brethren. And you can make a mistake and the devil will just say, well, you know what, you did that. He keeps reminding you of your past. But what you have to understand is this, is if you've repented, then as far as God's concerned, he doesn't even remember that anymore because he's thrown it to the depths of the sea, never to be remembered again. You see, so it's the enemy and yourself that you've got to overcome when it comes to those things about falling. You have to realize if you mess up, you just get right back up and start again. You see, that's the thing. Sometimes it's hard for us just to get back up. So I think sometimes people get this preconceived idea that if I'm saved, then I'll never mess up. If I'm saved, I'm never going to lose my temper. I know the Bible says you can be angry and sin not, but most of the time when I get angry, it ain't pretty. So, come on. See, y'all you just threw me under the bus. You all act like I'm a very gentle person when I'm angry. No, when I get angry. Now, it takes a whole lot to get me angry these days. When I was younger, man, I'd just blow up at the drop of a hat and drop the hat. It's true, you know, and I wanted to, I didn't want to hit nobody, but I would hit things. See, you're looking at me funny. I can remember being little and being mad at my mom over something. I was out on the porch laying on the glider and I was mad and I just reached down and grabbed the glider and just bent it. See, you're looking at me funny. I know that was stupid, but you know, I mean, I was a kid. I dealt with this stuff. And as I got older, I had to learn how not to get angry. I mean, you know, I mean, Pastor Ed and I've had some bouts. Now, I never have ever and never would, but I have picked up her chair and shook it before. The difference between me and Pastor Ed is she's a fist thrower. Now, she never would really throw to hurt me, but you know, she may be little, but dynamite comes in small packages. You know. And she knows all the buttons to push when she wants to make me mad. And I know some buttons to push on her. But you know, the wonderful thing about being married now, how many come on up on 44? 45? Somewhere in that neighborhood, okay? 1979, somebody do the math real quick. Coming up on 44? Or coming up on 40? We're coming up on 45, ain't we? 45. So we've learned each other. I mean, we grew up together. We got married when we were 18. Really. I mean, we're still in high school. And, you know, we graduated like in May. Okay? I turned 18 May the 10th. She turned 18 June the 4th. And we got married June the 16th. And we've been together ever since. Now, we've grown up together. We fought. We're best friends. How many of those best friends fight sometimes? I'm not talking fight. When Pastorette was young, she could give me the silent treatment for days. And that just made me that much madder. And she knew it. And that's why she did it. So, we've been Christian most of our life. I went through that spell where I was backslid for a while. But even through that, I it wasn't like I was a heathen, but I did things that God wasn't pleased with. I know that. And since, we've rededicated our lives, or I rededicated my life, God called me to preaching, there have been times I've still gotten mad before about things. Come on. So you mess up from time to time, but he says, though he fall, God will lift him up. When you mess up, God's right. And I'm telling you all that stuff on me. I know some of you think, well, he's the awfulest person that ever was. Let's hear your story.
Amen.
You Miss Perfect or Mr. Perfect. I'm sure we could dig out some bones, okay? I'm telling you my story so that you can relate and understand that it don't matter who you are. Whether you're the pastor or somebody that just comes to church every now and then, we all mess up from time to time. Amen. But God's right there to hold us up. And though he goes down, he won't stay down long, the Bible says. God will lift him up. So I started thinking about all this, and I was just meditating on it. And I started kind of thinking about, how many of you remember learning how to ride a bicycle? Huh? Come on now. Some of you don't remember when you learned how to ride a bicycle. When it comes to learning to walk by faith, it's kind of that way. Because when you first start learning to ride a bicycle, I think Pastor Ed taught Stephanie, didn't you, out in the yard maybe, or her and Sister Vernana taught Stephanie how. And then Pastor Ed and I had hands in on Lillian, and her mom and dad did too. But here's the thing about, when you're teaching somebody to ride a bicycle, they're afraid they'll fall. Right? Biggest thing, I'm afraid I'll fall. I'm afraid I'll wreck. I'm afraid I'll hurt myself. So really, when you start out with them at first, you kind of start out with them. You've got a hand on the handlebar. You've got a hand on the seat. And they're really not doing anything. You're doing it all. Right? Did you know that when you're a baby Christian, that's kind of the way God is with us? Because he knows we're still babies, and he knows we're just now starting to learn. And so, you can believe God for about anything, and God gives it to you. that's the way he loves us. But with the bicycle, you start out, and you're kind of helping them. You're telling them to pedal, and the handlebars are going, like that, because they're thinking about everything, every move they're going to make and all that. And then they start getting a little bit more comfortable as they paddle. So they let you let go of the wheel, and you can hold to the seat, And as long as I'm holding to the seat, they're okay, because they know I've got them, okay? But then after a while, they start getting comfortable with me having them. And you know what? You can go start down there like you're going to go with them and just let go of that seat, and they'll just keep right on going. Now, they may still be a little wobbly, but they'll keep on going. Why? Because they think they're still protected. They think somebody's there to catch them. And the truth is, what we've just taught them is to learn how to depend on their self to be able to do something. See, God starts out helping us like that, and he leads us along. We're wobbly and we're not sure how. But after a while, we start getting confident in the Word of God. We start walking in faith, because the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. And after a while, even though we might start out shaky, then after a while, we just believe the Word and don't even think anything about it. Right? They say once you ride a bicycle, you'll never forget. And, that I kind of believe that's true. But I want to tell you something. I can tell you from experience, when you start back again, it's kind of a little odd, okay? Anybody tried to ride one after several 20, 30 years or whatever, you're like, I don't remember it being this hard, And then you start up a bank and you're just like, come on, right? But you see, God is there to help us at all times. Even though we fall, he'll pick us up. He wants us to learn how to walk in faith without having to worry about, well, is God there? Is this the right thing? No, we know it's the right thing because we know the Word of God. And so now we're walking in faith. We're believing God. We're walking in those steps that he has prepared for us. And we're not even thinking about it. We're just believing God. Do you sit around and think about, am I saved or not? I don't even think about it because I know the Word says it. I don't even think about health issues. I know He's my healer. That's not to say you don't deal with stuff. I just don't dwell on them. You know, a lot of folks, they get a little something wrong with them. They're just wringing their hands. Right? Come on now. They're just, doctor said my blood pressure is a little high. Right? They're freaking out over that. So you're looking at me funny. Well, yes, that's a serious thing. Well, so is healing. Healing's a serious thing. Come on now. You see, so we have to understand and know that we've got to get to the place where we trust God in some things. I'm not saying you diss the doctor, but if he tells you that, then you know how to use your faith to take care of that. Now, part of using your faith may be that you don't eat so much salt. Come on now. You lay off the fries. I'm preaching to me right now, okay? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to insult you or anything like that, but... You know, I mean, that usually there's a reason that your blood pressure gets high. Most of the time, it's what we eat. Can I get an amen from some? I, you know what I heard right then? I heard when I said that, I heard some. That's because you're mad at me because I'm what I'm talking about. Okay, you know, I know I start talking about food all the time. I don't know, Brother Bobby Craig, by the way, they had their baby and we talked about it Wednesday. Thank God for the new baby in the church and stuff. But he sent me a picture Sunday afternoon. Guess where he was at? Eating a hot dog. The Sunday I talked about Chinese, guess where he was at? He's a man that listens to his pastor. He sent me a little message and said, thanks for the fatherly advice. And I said, you're welcome. You know, praise God. But God is there with us and He's helping us and we're learning to walk by faith. Now, go with me to Hebrews 11:1 real quick because this is the definition of faith in the Word of God. It says, now faith is the substance of the things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We're talking about walking by faith and how God's right there with us. The New Living Testament says it this way. Faith is the confidence that we hope for. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about the things we cannot see. And see, that's a key thing there. Now, faith is really believing that something you can't see with your eyes is going to come to pass. Right? I believe in God. I've never seen God. I have faith in God. Right? I believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. I have faith in Jesus Christ. I've never seen Him before. So faith is believing something that you can't see. Hebrews 11:1 has a long one in the Amplified. It's, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of the reality. And here's what I wanted to get to. Faith perceiving as real fact what's not revealed to the senses. Faith perceiving as real fact what's not revealed to the senses. What's it saying? It's got to be just as real to you as if it was right there. Right? See, I don't know why the bicycle thing was there, but it just kept coming at me. And here's what I heard the Lord speak to me. He said, you know, you got to have a back in order to learn to ride. Right? You can't ride imagination. Right? Come on now. You could read about riding a bike. You can watch other people ride a bike, right? Come on now. But you've got to have one if you're going to learn how to ride. Come on. And then you find out when you start trying to learn how to ride that they made it look easy and it's not as easy as they made it look when you start out. Right? Anybody ever watch somebody ski behind a boat? You know, you just watch them out there and they're just skiing or they've got one of them boards and whatever that, you know, one-handed, you know, they're doing all this stuff, you know, just skiing along and stuff. And you think, that looks like fun. How many of you have tried it? So I don't even have to say anything. I'll tell you for the rest of you, it's the most torturous thing you ever tried to do in your life. When you're sitting there with those skis stuck up in the air trying to keep your balance and they throttle that boat and that rope starts pulling out of your hands and you're holding on for dear life, you go, And if you don't let it go of the rope, it'll take you to the bottom. And then by that time, you're coming trying to get to the top, and you think you're going to drown before you ever get back up. By the time you're tired, I'm talking fat boy here now. Wait a minute. Maybe it's not that way for you guys, but it takes a lot to get a fat boy out of the water. So much so that I finally just said, bring the boat over here. Let somebody else try it for a while. You know. Okay? So you know, you've got to have, though, a catalyst if you're going to learn it. Right? So you've got to have a bicycle if you're going to learn to ride. But at the same time, you can't have faith by imagination either. You have to have a catalyst that you can hold on to, or have something real that you can have faith for. And for the believer, the Word of God is our catalyst for faith. We have to have the Word of God. And can, for a better use, since we're talking about riding by, could we say that faith is the Word of God is the bicycle we ride for faith? Right? We got to ride that. You know, the Word of God. That's the Word of God's what gives us faith. Now, you can have faith for other things, but I want to have faith toward God, don't you? Now, I started thinking about, again, you know, the different things about how, you know, we're supposed to have faith, and how, you know, we understand that the Word of God is the unchangeable truth, right? But when we start believing God, it seems like all hell comes against us, right? Come on. So I started thinking about this. You know, you're riding the bike. What makes the bike so difficult? Well, I'm going to give you a few little things, and you know, we'll bring it in, okay? The primary external forces on a bike are gravity, ground, friction, rolling resistance, and air resistance. All those things are working against you when you're riding a bike. Right? Come on now. Gravity, if you quit paddling, what happens? You know, if you don't put your legs down, you know. And what do you hit? The ground. Right? How many of you have experienced this? Again, fat boy here. If you get on your bicycle to ride and the tires are not properly inflated, it's harder to ride. It doesn't roll as well. Right? Come on. You're riding around on blacktop. You're doing good. You drop over in the grass and you're like, what happened? Because now there's more resistance in the grass than there was on the blacktop. So all these things are going, but yet you can still ride the bicycle. Why? Well, Newton has, I don't know who Newton is, but I remember studying about him. But Newton's second law of motion says that acceleration, which is gaining speed, happens when a force acts on a mass or an object, okay? And you're riding your bicycle is a good example of this law of motion at work, because your bicycle is the mass, and your leg muscles pushing on the pedals of your bicycle is the force. As long as you keep pushing, you keep moving. Now, see, here's where I want to get spiritual with this. As long as you and I'll keep pushing into the spirit realm, as long as we keep pushing into the Word of God, we'll keep moving. God likes it when we apply pressure to His Word. Did you know that? Come on. Paul knew it. Paul said this. He said, I'm not acting over in Philippians chapter 3. He said, I'm not trying to pretend here. It's okay if I paraphrase. He said, I'm not pretending that I've already attained. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to forget those things which are behind, and I'm going to press toward the prize of the high calling in Christ. What was he saying? I'm going to keep applying pressure. I've not got to where I want to be yet, so I'm going to stay in the Word. I'm going to keep right on doing what I need to do to make sure I'm walking by faith and moving forward. See, it's real easy for you to back off and quit moving forward. Come on now. If you've got all the forces against you pushing you backward, what happens when you quit pushing forward? Right. You're going to start, if you're going up a hill in your vehicle, right, and you're giving it gas, what you're doing is allowing the engine to push you forward. Now, you don't have to put it in reverse or anything. All you've got to do is let off the gas. And all of a sudden, you're going to stop and you're going to start going backwards. A lot of the church is going backwards because they quit pushing forward. It's not that they're backslidden. It's not that they don't love God. It's the fact that they've quit applying pressure to their faith. They've quit pushing forward in God. They've just got to a place of complacency and they're not really trying to move forward. And they think, I'm just going to hover around. This is a pretty comfortable spot. But what you've got to realize is you're going backwards. You're going away from God, whether you realize it or not, because you've got to keep right on pressing forward. You cannot allow yourself to get to that complacency to where you feel you're satisfied with where you're at. You can't ever be satisfied with where you're at. You should always be pushing. He that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. You have to keep pushing. Why? Because of the forces that are pushing back against you. The enemy does not want you to succeed. He wants you to quit. He wants you to give up. He doesn't care if you backslide or not. He just doesn't want you imposing the kingdom of God on his kingdom. He doesn't want you witness to his people. Come on. He doesn't want you stealing souls out of his kingdom to come over into the kingdom of God by telling them about the love of God. So you see, God likes it when we put the pressure to His Word. Matter of fact, you know, it's pressure that makes diamonds. Right? You know, our diamonds, they tell us, you know, they tell us that it's because of all the pressure that was pressed upon, you know, that organic material. It pressed so hard it became cold, but in other places it pressed so hard that the cold became diamonds. Now, you're some of you kind of looking at me funny. Listen, God wants us to have diamonds. He wants us putting pressure on the Word of God to the point that it's good. It comes to pass. Come on. His Word is shiny. Come on. And very valuable to our lives because it's working for us. It's bringing things to pass in our life. That's what God's looking for us to do. He wants us to keep pressing, walking by faith, even though a lot of times we can't even see it, even though there's times we don't feel Him behind us, holding to us. He's still there. He's always working all things together for good to them that love and serve Him, those that are the called according to His purpose. If you're born again, you're called. Right? Amen. He's working for your behalf. So if we know this, and if we know we're going to be walking by faith and not by sight, what is it we need to do? Well, the first thing that you and I need to do when it comes to walking by faith and believing God is find scriptures that apply to the situation that we're in. Amen. Remember, the Word of God's the catalyst. You have to find in the Word of God God's promises for you. If you need health, then find healing scriptures. If you're having financial situations, then go ahead and find you some prosperity scriptures. Some promises of God where He promises you wealth and tells you what to do to get it. Oh, I didn't know the Bible told me. Yeah, it does. Give and it shall be given. Right? Bring all the tithe into the storehouse and prove me herewith. I'll pour you out a blessing. There won't be room enough to receive. See, here's the thing about God. God's obligated to His Word. So if you want to see God's Word work and see Him work His Word, then you've got to do what the Word says. That's why I'm telling you, get those scriptures and find the ones that apply to you. You know, if it's healing, you know, by His stripes you were healed, right? He bore our sicknesses and our infirmity. He sent His Word and healed us and delivered us, right? You can find them. They're there. You get those. And then once you find those scriptures that apply to your situation, and then you have to start confessing those things. Yeah, but Pastor Mike, I got some healing scriptures there, but I just feel as bad now as I just keep on confessing those healing scriptures until they become real to you. They're already real to God because God can't lie. He wouldn't have said it if it weren't true. It's just a matter of fact that you've got to keep telling yourself. You know how a habitual liar becomes a habitual liar? They believe their own lies. They tell stuff to where they believe it themselves. They think they can't distinguish between truth and a lie. Well, you see, the Word of God's truth. So what you have to do is keep telling yourself that truth until that truth becomes a reality to you. Remember, faith perceiving as real fact, what's not revealed to you. You have to allow the Word of God to become real to you. It's got to be as real as anything else. Come on, God's healing in your life has to be as real as your doctor. Come on now. God's healing in your life has to be, the Scripture's own healing, have to be as real to you as the medicine that a doctor would give you. Amen. See, when you start getting to that point, then you inject yourself with the Word and healing comes. Come on. First thought is not fear. Oh, Lord. Yes, I got COVID again. I wonder how many people have gotten COVID by saying they've gotten COVID and don't even know it. Come on. We all fight against that force, that devil, right?
Yes.
Come on. See, I'm telling you the forces that fight against you, and I'm telling you that God's there and you have the Word to keep you moving forward. But see, what happens is you get the sniffles. Anybody ever get the sniffles?
Yes.
Everybody gets the sniffles, I think. If you don't, bless your heart, praise God. But there'll be those times that, you know, your nose will start running. He had stopped up a little bit. And since 2020, the devil goes, "That's COVID you've got there." Come on now. He tells it to everybody. So I want you just to understand that you are not alone. He's not a respecter of persons either. He tells everybody the same thing. You can be cutting up onions. And your eyes start watering. Your nose start running because they're strong onions. And the devil go, "I think you've got COVID." And it's up to you to say, "No, I'm cutting up onions, stupid." Not, "I may have. I need to go get a test." And by the way, they tell me that these certain tests that they got out, the most popular brand now, that just most influenzas will prove positive COVID, even though you don't have COVID. See, you're looking at me. It's better to trust the Word of God than to trust the medical society, okay? They make money off of that junk. That's why they want to give you a flu shot and a COVID shot and a shingle shot and whatever the teeth thing is shot and this shot. And grandma, you'd be a whooping coughing on your baby. You need to get you a whooping cough shot and...
Yeah.
What grandma wants to give their baby whooping cough?
Right.
See, you're looking at me funny. It's all designed to get you to do what they want you to do. And that's give them money for what they're trying to sell you.
That's right. Yes.
Can I, let me just say, you don't think I'm telling the truth. I know some of you just kind of doubtful on that. You know, they would never do, medical society would never do that. Are you kidding me? They're in the business to not make money, not to get you well. They might act like they want to get you well. You ever, if you're having problems, take this medicine. I'm telling you, you'll live a lot better life. Some people experience headaches, dizziness, blood pressure highness. Sometimes even death has happened if they take one. If I've taken this medicine, you know. I mean, right? You won't have red blotches on you anymore, but you might die.
Amen.
So you have to understand that faith in the Word of God is so much better. Because they do not have your well-being in heart. But God does. His heart is so after you that He gives you everything that He's got. And He says, "I'm with you at all times, whether you know it or not. I'm right there. And if you'll trust my word will work in your life. In every area of your life. Because as far as God's concerned, He's already given you all things." Everybody say all things. All things that pertain to life and godliness. The Bible says that all the promises of God are what? Yes And amen, according to the power that's working in us, or through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all ours. God has given it to us. We just have to believe God. We just have to walk by faith and not by sight. And when we do that, God's right there with us. And if we'll just decide, you know what? I'm going to live the faith life. Everybody else can do what they want to do, but I'm going to choose to believe God. I'm going to let the Word of God be my bicycle, and I'm going to ride the tar out of that thing. I'm going to wear the tars out on it. I'm just going to ride. God just reminded me of something stupid I did when I had a bicycle. God ever remind you of stupid things you did when you were younger? When we were boys, I got to tell it on myself. It's so funny. When we were boys, you know, that was back in, you know, we're talking 60s, 70s. I was born in 61. But as we were growing up, you know, the hippies were cool, you know, and all that stuff. And so the motorcycle gangs, you know, they ride around on the big choppers and all that kind of thing. Well, us boys, you know, we wanted to be cool too. So what we would do, I don't know that I ever had a new bicycle in my life. You know, and I'm not trying to get you to feel sorry for me. I didn't know. We were poor. I didn't know we were poor because we lived a good life. You know, we had what we needed to eat and we had fun. We lived on, you know, in the country, in the creek. And so we boys would ride bicycles. We played bicycles. But anyway, I got a bicycle from somewhere and I don't know where I got it from. But I found out back then there were a lot of junk bicycles around and you could kind of build one out of things. And so what we got to doing was, you know, to get real cool, you know, we'd get us one of those 20 inchers, you know. And we'd it was called a banana seat. Anybody know what a banana seat is? You know, that was one of those longer seats. And then we'd get us a sissy bar. Everybody know what a sissy bar was? See, some of you shaking your head. Some of you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. For you all that don't know, a banana seat was a long bicycle seat. It wasn't them little tight. I mean, it was long. And the sissy bar was actually a bar back here behind it, stood up behind you like this. You know, it just came. It was cool, you know. And so we'd find other junk bicycles, or at least I did. Some others did too. And what we would do is we would cut the forks off of other bicycles that were junk. And we'd take the front wheel off our bicycle. And we'd start, because the forks were hollow, we'd start sticking those forks upon our bicycle. And so you could stick another set. I had 4 or 5 sets of forks on my bicycle. To the point that when I rode it, I mean, you know, the wheel was way out there, you know, and it was the funniest thing you ever saw because, you know, your forks was like this. But by the time you got through putting 3 or 4 or 5 sets of forks on it, it curved way out there. And I mean, you had a chopper. You know what I'm saying? I mean, really, it was cool. So, you know, you just thought I thought I was the coolest thing in the world. Okay. Back then, a lot of kids would get together. You know, we'd play in the fields and do different things, maybe play ball out in the field or whatever. And one day they were playing down there in the field, and I thought, I'm going to ride down my bike and be real cool. And so I'm riding my bicycle down there. I know this is not spiritual, but it's fun. And so I'm riding down through there, and I come, and there's a field here and there's a bridge here. And the bridge was a wooden bridge that had the extra wood where the tires would, when vehicles drove over it, so it was slanted on this end, went across, and slanted on the other end across the bridge. So I'm coming through there and I see that slant and I think, man, this will be a good time to get some air right here. I'm going to ride me a wheelie through there and be really cool. So I come through there and when my front wheel hit that little ramp thing, I just popped her right up, you know, and I'm paddling and my forks fell off. My front wheel literally fell off the bicycle. Just then I went, boom, crashed out. They all laughed at me. Kind of like y'all doing right now. Now, that didn't have a thing in the world to do with faith, but it had a lot to do with riding a bicycle, okay? Don't try that at home, okay? Pastor's example, you'll crash, okay? Don't try doing what the world does, okay? Do what God would do. God keep you safe in faith and in His Word. And you'll watch things come to pass in your life that you thought you never would. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet. I've talked to you enough about bicycles today. I started to name this the bicycle sermon, but I didn't. Probably should have. Let's pray.